Hey, and welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy. And Nick, I have named this podcast the Mid-Season Draft Podcast because after the game, you did something, the game on Friday night, you did something, and you were unusually negative for you. You're normally pretty positive offline, but you, I think your single comment on the game was, I hate losing like that. So I think we'll just delay talking of the game and we're talking about the game and we'll call this an emergency mid-season draft podcast. Does that work for you?
I'm perfectly fine with that. Look, I've achieved a more zen place since then because it's Thursday and it was a Friday game. But yeah, oh my God, it was frustrating. But yes, you know I love a draft. I love a draft more than...
Indeed.
Almost anything in football other than winning premierships and Dustin Martin. But I do even like it more when you ask me for a couple of names on the morning of the draft and I give you two and one of them we pick. So, yeah, good times. Jacob Bauer, welcome to Richmond.
Yeah, now in fairness, it had been a bit in the press a bit that we've been...
In the media a bit, yeah.
Because we travelled out there. And we should also acknowledge here that what Agent DeRoto gives, and we owe him so much. He does take away slightly. So before we talk about Jacob, we should acknowledge that yet another Richmond VFL player got drafted.
I know, but yeah, by Essendon, Massimo D'Ambrosio, who had some really good... A couple of really good games for our VFL team. I still haven't been able to find out if Essendon have to, because you have to pay a fee to clubs for picking up their players in the mid-season draft. And I don't know if Essendon have to pay a fee to our VFL club and whether or not that gets included in our soft cap.
That is. Really, it's a really not, presumably not, but that is a great theory.
it would be fun. So, Jacob Bauer, he's 191 centimetres. He's a third tall forward, if that makes sense. I was struggling to think of Richmond player comparisons, and the best I could come up with was poor man's Michael Pickering, which isn't all that useful for a player who finished his career with Richmond more than 30 years ago.
Callum Moore didn't come to mind?
No, he was never much of a forward. Callum, it's not crazy because he's a good athlete. Nice vertical leap, but Callum Moore never kicked very many goals, and he always had a pretty wonky kicking motion. Jacob Bauer's got it's a slightly funky kicking motion, but it's been really accurate. Both for set shots and field play. So he's been with the Swans Academy largely as a defender, obviously interrupted a couple of years with COVID. It's gone over to North Adelaide, played one game in the reserves where he got switched to the forward line at half time. He's kicked four goals in the second half of that reserves game, got promoted to the seniors, and has kicked 16 goals in six games for North Adelaide and looked pretty good doing it.
It does have a bit of a sports movie feel to it, doesn't it?
I know. But, yeah, so he's skinny, so he's certainly not key position player size, but, you know, good leap, long arms. Oliver Henry from Collingwood? Maybe he's, again, a poor man's version of that because he was a first-round draft pick, but maybe that helps as a visual comparison. He doesn't win the ball very much. He's only averaging about 8.5 disposals a game for North Adelaide, half of those disposals from marks. But, you know, he's been really deadly in front of goal. It's, you know, just under three goals a game. So, yeah, it's there's yeah, and he's averaging half a tackle a game. So that's going to be something he's going to have to work on. So it's sort of there's a mix of strengths, but you know, there's also reasons why he's a mid-season draft pick rather than a high national draft pick. But God, we need the depth. I don't think we were planning to lose both Chole and Callum Coleman-Jones last year, and it wasn't a great draft for key forwards, unless perhaps something we can talk about later is Josh Gibkiss's cameo in the forward line. So yeah, we need another tall marking target in the VFL. And interestingly, for the mid-season draft, players can nominate to receive an 18-month contract, which he has. So he's guaranteed to be on the list next year. So, you know, there is time to sort of, you know, work, get more physical, work on those defensive side of the game, being more competitive when the ball gets the ground, you know, also help him play to those strengths. So, yeah, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, look, he's long booming kicks, he's marking, it all looks...
Yeah, explosive. There's some explosiveness to him as an athlete. Like he's snapped goals around his body from nearly 50 metres, which, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and off the ground in the air. So there's pieces there. Look, I like it from a fundamental perspective, as I like it much more than, you know, drafting another 25-year-old out of the VFL to earnestly run up and down on the wing. Like this is... It may not work out. You know, it's a mid-season draft pick, but he's a project. He fits an area of need, and he's got a few exciting traits. So I like it from a philosophical standpoint.
Yeah. But you say about philosophical standpoint. You know, we've had huge success with guys like this who've... you know, not got drafted at 18, but proven themselves at state level. So, you know,
Do you mean? Yes. I mean, he's a bit different though. Like he kicked a ton of goals in a few games, and which has trailed off slightly. It's still you're still going on a fairly small sample. Like you're basically
that's true, but it's very much the Ryan Mansell story where he's. He's moved states, played at a higher level, and risen to that level.
It's more Ryan Mansell than Kane Lambert, or yeah, that makes more sense. A lot. I mean, Mansell got a full season too, but yeah, that's a fair comparison. I thought you were talking about Pickett or Parker, but no, that makes more sense.
Even a little bit of the Nathan Broads, who's you know Nathan Broad, you know, good athlete at AFL level, but yeah, just wasn't a particularly good footballer when he was 18. Was playing Colts and reserves football, and only became a regular waffle senior player in his early 20s. So yeah, some guys take longer to. Put it together, and you know we certainly are prepared to invest that those guys can develop more, which we've seen. So, yeah.
Look, I'm excited about. It. Also, he will make the VFL more fun to watch because
yes.
the VFL has badly needed a true key forward, not just a resting ruck. And yeah, exciting times. So, welcome to Tigerland, Jacob Bauer, and definitely the. The most promising thing that's happened in Tigerland this week.
Yeah. The other bit, sort of small bit of off-season news, we're into the AFLW trade period, and yeah, it is maybe the only notable thing about the, you know, we've lost two players to the expansion clubs, Sarah Dargan, off to Sydney, but AFL's got these incredibly complicated rules where your draft picks for the established teams are tied to the number of players you lose to the expansion clubs, which, of course, benefits the more established clubs that have more good players versus the recent expansion clubs. And it's also very notable the new expansion clubs are getting between 4 and 6 first-round draft picks each. When we came in, we got 2. So, yeah, it's hard not to see both a substantial element of micromanagement, but yeah, and also a pretty uneven playing field for certain clubs.
Yeah, I was saying to you, Nicole Livingston loves an overly complex solution.
Oh my god, I love
complex arrangements.
Complex arrangements and getting into the detail of the draft, but it's ridiculous even for that. We did a player trade. We traded Ingrid Hoetsma, who was third round draft pick last year from Geelong Falcons. Didn't play, you know, young, athletic, very much developing player. Didn't play a senior game for us. We traded her for Stephanie Williams, who's a Indigenous small forward from Northern Territory, I think. Check that.
Who's young and athletic, and
yeah, young, athletic. Didn't play a senior game this year, so it's an opportunity trade on both sides. I think
our player wanted to go to back home to Geelong.
Yeah, and we needed we need more depth in our pressure forwards, you know. So yeah. Not very consequential, but yeah, good luck to them both.
Indeed. And first Indigenous AFLW player, so welcome to Tigerland as well.
I have an awkward confession for you. I agreed with something Robbo said.
Oh, this is an awkward segue. Go on.
Yeah. There's a headline on, I think it's Fox Sports this morning, Robbo slamming the Sydney Swans for, particularly the council they employed for Buddy Franklin, for accusing, saying that Trent Cotchin deserved a Logie for acting for the Buddy Franklin incident, which, yeah, I thought that was pretty classless.
Yeah, me too, considering Buddy also beat up on Cotchin separately, and like he didn't fall over. Like, what did he do?
He highlighted to the umpire that he'd been hit in the face, which he had been. So,
like, it was a slap. He didn't fall over.
It was a slap. Yeah, it was honestly the most straightforward tribunal case I think I've ever seen. Was it intentional? Yes. Was it high contact? Yes. Was it low impact? Yes. 1 week. Right. Move on.
The remarkable thing about it is, I completely agree with what you said, and Robbo sort of sticking figure in mouth. But why? You're an old man. You're an old, well paid man. Did he just want a week off? And it's so strange.
No, he just look. Buddy has always come with a lot. He's always given away, like, he plays on the edge. He's always given away a lot of free kicks. He's always got suspended quite a bit. He'd have kicked, you know, he'd be, I don't think he would have ever got close to Lockett, but, you know, he would have been suspended for quite a number of games, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it took me By the way, just on Buddy more broadly, it took me two days after the game, which I was so annoyed about afterwards, and I just stomped around, and it took me until 2 days where I realized an extra sort of little bit of icing on top. Like, no one cares about our takes, our non-draft takes, but you might recall in our preview that I said, Buddy, he's champion of the game, but he's probably not a match winner anymore. Well,
he did. It was super annoying.
Quite clearly won the game. So, but look, a couple of things about the game, Nick. On a meta level, obviously very frustrating. I feel like this is often a time when I talk about, you sometimes forget about the sequence goals are kicked and just look at
I had that thought had come to me as well. If we'd got to the same final result, except we did the second half comeback, we'd probably still feel frustrated and still raise a certain eyebrow why common sense was used in the case of the 950 meter at the end of the game, but it's never used when Shea Bolton's got the ball and the crowd's going nuts and he kicks a goal. Like, I think that's, you know, entitled to raise an eyebrow on that. Although, you know, and I do think there was a degree of common sense from the umpires there, and if you were wanting to look at an umpiring decision, the very first goal of the game is a much better candidate for outrage. But
I can't honestly, I tweeted this, you know, and BT was sort of calling out every miss for a kick, and there were a couple late, which, you know, it's part of his thing. But when you're so far behind in the free kick differential, I can't even talk about it, Nick, because I'm in so conspiracy brain about it. There's an unconscious bias going on in the way we're umpired. It's just we never get the high leverage free kicks and
the run of the green.
And it's reflected in just the massive outlier we are on all these stats. So look, I can't even talk about. I hate talking about it. I would much rather have lost that game by 8 goals. Which it makes no sense, right? Because you'd rather be competitive. It's a far better indicator for next week. But it just losing when you're getting the bad rub with the on a few key decisions, which goes into my earlier conspiracy. That is worse to me than losing from a big comeback, because because we're 18th on the free kick chart. It feels like every week it's happening. So yeah, sorry, I said I wouldn't talk about it. Now I am. Can we move on to a player? I was joking with you. Dusty's washed. Time to trade him. Only joking because he didn't kick the game-winning goal. A couple of, I don't know. Just drawing myself back up. A few things that I wanted to say. Is Hugo Rowse-Smith?
Before we talk about Hugo Rowse-Smith, because he came in as a late change for Marlon Pickett, who was sick. But it also meant Noah Cumberland debuted as a sub and didn't get off the bench, which actually is a bit of a throwback to older, sort of pre-1970s style interchange where, you know, players would be replaced and you know, they couldn't come back on. Or even, you know, long ago we interviewed Ray Hall, who spent 10 minutes on the ground, the last 10 minutes of the last quarter on the ground for his debut. But yeah, it feels pretty anticlimactic.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the end, he didn't get a run. But Nick, has there ever been a time when you played with three on the bench? The AFL?
I don't think three. Two.
Yeah,
three.
I thought it was two. So we needed, because
they probably did transition. They probably did go to three after two.
I don't know. I wondered whether George was playing tribute to that, because we effectively played a man down for the entire game.
Yeah. So yeah, look, congratulations to Noah Cumberland. I really do.
Can we get excited? Can we say this for when he plays?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, look, he's got a jumper. He goes down as a Richmond senior player, but you know, he's also a fringe player on the list. Like he literally got delisted and relisted in November. So I really hope he gets a proper game, so to speak, so his family can come down from Queensland and everything else.
I think they have to now. I presume he gets a match payment, so he can go off and buy a PlayStation 5.
Yeah,
a PlayStation 5 with his match payment. So probably several PlayStation 5s. But yeah, we'll see. But anyway, back to Hugo. Automatic selection now for you?
Pretty close, yeah. Look, if he plays like this, like, and I don't look. I did have the sensation. Oh, I remember how much I dislike how ugly games at the SCG can be. That real football in a phone booth thing. But his run, and you know, just taking the game on. Obviously, his finishing was really good, but he set up the goal to Shorty as well at the start of the second half. So, yeah, you always want more because what he gives us is really good. But yeah, he's fun. I like him in the team.
Yeah, I think it. Look, his line breaking ability is getting pretty important. So I agree. A couple of other players I want to try. It's sort of in the days where we used to debate Cochin before he sort of evolved into, well, he sort of ascended into legend status and on this podcast. But you may recall that we often, when we'd lose close games like this, that he'd have bad last quarters, and he had 10 disposals in the last quarter, and did a lot of hard work aside from the incredibly brave acts that have been highlighted on social media already. Dan was solid. Graham had 9 tackles and obviously to go with these 2 goals, as did Nank. So we actually won the tackles, we won the clearances, and we won the hitouts and the hitouts to advantage again. So a few of the little trends that we've been doing have
changed. Yeah, it was. Look, we won. Well, we were extremely competitive in the contested ball. But yeah,
the, it was exactly even.
Yeah, but the not having Tom Lynch thing, and you know, Jack struggling to get a lot of clear football. It did. There were a lot of ugly goals. Like we were doing a good job of, you know, creating, you know, chaos balls at the top of the goal square, and you know, we've got some really smart players who were able to take advantage. But yeah, everything felt hard, I thought, versus, you know, when you've got a key forward and you know they can take a big mark and relieve the pressure in a really contested situation. So, yeah, was it nothing came easy.
It's suffice to say my Soldo fantasies pre-game remained unfulfilled about his effectiveness as a second forward.
Yep.
Don't need to draw on that. Okay, flavour of the moment, Nick. Josh Gibkus, centre-half forward of the future. Thoughts?
Look, you know that I'm very much of the... If all that, so he's swapped from being a forward to a defender when he was about 14, and he's a really good young defender. But you can also see that the temptation, like it was one goal in the dying moments of the game. But yeah, it still looked good, and he's obviously a tall, talented athlete. So, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting question because Ben Miller is absolutely in the form of his life down in the VFL. Like he's winning a ton of football. So, yeah, given we're in this situation, possibly for another week of having both Balto and Lynch out of the team, you know, maybe Gibkus forward and bringing in Miller is the best use of resources.
Yeah, the Lynch injury looks like currently being 3-4 in total, which more than I must have been, I thought, because when he first went out, because it seemed fairly minor, but whatever. So, yes, we could be in the situation. Look, we speculated this when we drafted him, that he did have, Gibkus had the traits potentially to go forward. As you say, I think one goal where he got out on the lead versus a very tired defender, was, I don't think that's proof of concept either way, but it could be an interesting experiment. Maybe we played Bowler straight away. No, of course we won't. But look, it potentially is interesting what we do against Port and what the weather will be like. But yeah, I think there's nothing more about the game I particularly wanted to talk about. It is now 6 days afterwards, so I think everyone's had their fill of what a deeply unpleasant game. But
yeah, look, we played pretty well. Like, it's,
yeah,
look, you know, they're a top eight team on their home deck, and we were missing a couple of key personnel. So
we're missing our two best key position players. So that's maybe a bit unfair on Grimes, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Look, we've talked about him a lot before, but Dan Rioli is going very well.
Yeah, fair. Now, Nick,
well, and also the we've wondered about Jaden Short as a midfielder against a better midfield. Well, I think this was a better midfield, and it's still passed the eye test for me.
Give it a few more weeks. Sorry to be conservative, but you know, if he like it wasn't as good a game on some of the metrics. It was okay, but it wasn't, you know, the sort of, had he been a bit higher up on the productivity measures, I would have given a double tick. But yeah, we'll see. But it hasn't been disproved, which is not bad.
No, I'm probably a bit more positive than that, but
I've you know me, Nick, I've got that old prejudice, as if you can play midfield, you play midfield in juniors, but that just abide by one of my old man prejudices. You just have to be patient with me.
That was probably it. Look, you mentioned that we won in the rucks. That was, you know, it was a I mean, I'm sure Toby Nienkiewicz gets up for every game, but yeah, particularly going against his old club. But yeah, he was very good. I mean, Laddams was good as well. They both got coaches' votes.
Yeah, they got kind of. It was a very Nankish game where they almost battered to a draw. But I think if you were to give that a points, I think it was points to Nank overall.
It was a step back, unfortunately, for Jack Ross, which was a bit of a shame. I like Jack Ross, and he still had some nice moments, like particularly nice passage of play, I think in the second quarter, that led to a goal for Maurice Rioli Jr. But yeah, he had a few skill errors as well. And,
yeah, the sort of the advanced metrics hated his game.
Yeah,
if there wasn't so obviously a before-mentioned scapegoat for the game, it would have been him.
but it's the sort of game where, I don't know, I didn't mind that we've got the we've got the bye afterwards to recover somewhat.
Indeed. Now, I'm really keen to move on from this game, Nick, and never talk of it again. Now, in the VFL, who is this Ben Miller, and what have you done with the real Ben Miller? Because he's breaking up stats to a ridiculous level.
Well, it's good of you and polite of you to start with Ben Miller rather than go immediately to talk about Simpson White. but yeah, so the first three games of the season, Ben Miller averaged about 9.5 disposals a game, which is perfectly in line with his career averages. The last 3 weeks, he's averaging 22 disposals a game and 7 marks. Like, it's seemingly come from nowhere, but yeah, it's kind of great as well.
No, it's great for him. I just, I don't quite know, you know, with Walter out now and he's still not playing, like, it's been unfortunate for him. But, you know, it feels like he's going to be playing AFL next year.
Yeah. Oh, no. For us or someone else. But, I'm hoping we keep him on this form. Very much a bounce back from Tyler Sonzi as well. 25 disposals and a goal.
Yeah, bit flat. Good. Bit flat that a guy who spends a lot of his time around the contest managed to record zero tackles. Like, that's actually quite hard considering the position he plays. But I agree on the broader point you're making. Banks had a promising 20 touches, which is good.
Yeah, both Banks and Brown.
Yeah.
Sorry. Banks and Brown had 20 disposals each, and they're both really nice, you know, tall, good runners. Brown had a couple of, you know, laser-like passes into forward 50. Like, yeah, encouraging for both of them, I reckon. If they're, you know, God knows what happens the rest of the season, but if those two guys play well, that's a really good sign for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So those were the promising things. We should perhaps mention a conversation we had offline about the Stocker and Rolly Collie Donkins were drafted next to each other, and RCD was drafted after, but we'll always remember Stocker pick because we dunked on it so heavily on this podcast for the ridiculous Carlton recruiting video where they seemed to draft him because he kicked well on a rainy, windy day in Ballarat, which, funnily enough, by the way, that is one of the fallacies they talk about in drafting, that recruiters overrate things they see in person. It was literally an example of what not to do. Anyway.
Given Carlton gave up a top five draft pick in that trade, I think our criticism holds up.
True. And Stocker, at least he's playing AFL, but looked pretty ordinary against the Pies. And RCD's not looking great either, so it's not actually – it wasn't a particularly strong draft around that area, but
No, so
that was a long way. I was trying to take the heat off the fact that RCD is not looking good.
No, I mean, no, frankly, no. James Rowbotham's the best player picked after him. So, just some drafts. The challenge of AFL draft is sort of not all draft classes are the same, and some years the depth only goes so far. And we've long believed in Riley, and so backup Bruckman at the moment, which is question mark raised eyebrow.
I'm not sure I've ever been very much on the Sparky bandwagon, but why did you want to talk about Ryan, by the way?
Oh, because we talked last week about he struggled against Andrew Phillips. This week was very much a similar matchup in Callum Sinclair.
Oh, yeah.
Who's, you know, large AFL journeyman, and he had the better of the matchup. So, good on him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, we lost the hitouts overall, but that's probably got more to do with Riley doing second ruck.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Ryan had more than Sinclair.
Yeah, you're right. And that is. But I just compared them head to head, and that's definitely a fair call. It was it was close, but yeah, you're right. He beat a big mature AFL ruck, so that is a good achievement. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for cheering me up. Because been a pretty grim podcast, so that was a. I think that's a pretty nice positive note to end on for me for the VFL, Nick.
Yeah. So what are you going to do with your bye weekend off?
Well, I'm playing footy. So looking forward to that. I thought it's going to be very wet and windy in Melbourne. Yeah, I think I just still cleansing the filth of the Sydney game out of my fingers and other various hidden parts of my body. How about you?
Yeah, I was thinking, what am I going to do? The NBA finals are starting. I'm a little sad there's not a VFL game. I'd watch a VFL game this week if there was one.
They seem to do it deliberately, right? Like, presumably it's a HR issue that they want to give everyone at the club time off at the same time. But, yeah, it's not very fan-friendly, is it? Stop me if you've heard this.
No, more so the pity. But, yeah, look, it's you mentioned about Jacob Bauer. Playing seniors, that feels unlikely. I think he'll make the VFL team more fun, and yeah, we can all use more fun.
Indeed.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger 2.
It starts with a vision. If we're not locked into that, might as well pack up and go home.
You're talking about three flags by 2020. Fitzroy's paid him off miles on you guys.
And after 13 straight losses, the Tigers are no longer toothless. Their first win for 2010, Carmichael Hunt. Pick up Jeffrey, he does. Carlton are on their way to Sydney.
Westcott could kick a goal from here. He does. What a start. Coming to slow. He's gone. No free kick, sure.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Tigers.